Chapter 3. Quinn sat frozen on the couch. It felt like there was something wrong with her mouth, because it was hanging open and no sound would come out. Thank God James was there, because he finally managed to pull himself together.
Are you...
James choked.
Are you saying that we have a child? A 3-year-old child? Living just 5 miles from here?
Biologically speaking, yes, Dr. Baxter said, her voice measured. There was a child born from your embryo, but legally it's more complicated than that. She was born to another woman who has been raising her for almost 4 years, believing her to be her own daughter. This child only knows that woman to be her mother. The word mother finally snapped Quinn out of her trance. They had a daughter. All this time, she and James had a little girl out in the world. A child with James's eyes, maybe. Or her hair. His smile or her laugh. The thought of it filled her with such longing she could barely breathe. And then the rest of the doctor's words hit her, and Quinn's hands began to shake. 4 years. Another woman had given birth to their child without their knowledge, and they'd missed almost 4 years. 4 years was an eternity in a child's life. She was no longer a baby, no longer a toddler even. Another woman had been there, feeding her, caring for her, wiping her tears, and putting band-aids on her scrapes. While she and James had sat here, hoping and praying for a baby with absolutely no idea their baby lived only a few miles away. How? How did this happen? We're still looking into it, Dr. Baxter said. I assure you, we're conducting a thorough investigation. Nothing about that assured Quinn whatsoever.
Who is this woman who ended up with our embryo?
She whispered.
She's...
Dr. Baxter hesitated. She was a patient of mine for many years.
Is she a good person? Do you think she's...
Quinn choked on the words.
Do you think she's taking care of our daughter?
A wave of nausea hit her. Their child could be with anyone, anyone. Quinn's anxious mind grasped on to the worst-case scenario. What if this other woman was mean and abusive, or neglectful? What if she didn't have enough money to care for the child properly? Oh, Quinn, she's absolutely taking good care of the child. Dr. Baxter's voice soothed her through the phone. She's lovely, and I'm sure you're... She hesitated there for a moment. I'm sure the child is deeply loved.
And does she have a partner? A co-parent?
No. Nora came to us because she decided to have a baby on her own. If I remember correctly, she has a close-knit family in the area. I recall a brother who sometimes drove her to treatments, but there is no second parent. Nora. Quinn's mind seized on the name. Quinn was tempted to grab her laptop and cyberstalk every Nora in Mount Lebanon. Maybe she'd find her on Facebook with photos of the girl. Would she and James recognize their daughter by a photo? Would she look like Quinn in her own baby pictures? The ones she'd tucked under the bed in a storage box after her parents had passed.
What else can you tell us about Nora? Quinn asked.
Any tiny shred of information would do, like her last name or her address, so I can drive by the house and peer in the window. Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned her name. Please forgive me. I admit I am a bit flustered, Dr. Baxter stammered. I'm afraid I can't say any more. She was my patient, so I have to be mindful of HIPAA. But...